Welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in beautiful Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Reverend Gil and Reverend Aaron Fortin. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
So the name of it, we're kind of tag teaming today. The name of the message is You Were There Faithfully, and that comes from a song, but I'll get more into that later. And I'm going to pass it over to Gil to start.
So I guess when things go wrong, how many of you are all ready to just be like, yeah, it's no big deal? Or how many of you are like, oh no, now what are we going to do? So you wake up in the morning and your water heater's broken. Is everybody calm? And say, God will take care of this. God will provide for me. Or do you just start the morning off great and grumble and panic and go off where we shouldn't go off? Because I know most of us probably do that. And it's hard not to. But a lot of times, if we step back and we're calm about it, and we think about where we are, and we think about what God will do and what he'll provide for us, then it calms us down a little bit. And, Friday morning, my dog's getting old. He's 14. And we know what happens when we get old. Things don't quite work the way they should work. So when I came down in the morning, it was like 5:15, and he was standing there looking down with his tail between his legs. I was like, oh, no. And I looked in his kennel, and I saw that he had tried to hide it by pushing the dog bed on it, which made it worse because it pushed it out the back of the kennel and onto the wall. And so I let the dogs out, and I closed the door. And my stomach's not real good for stuff. And so I'm cleaning it up, and I'm like, oh, God. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to puke. And all of a sudden, so the door is over here, and the kennel was over there as well. But somehow, the wind blew the door open and came around and went right in, gave me a fresh spring breeze in my face. And so I was able to pull through and clean up the rest of the mess. And once I got the pine saw in my nose, then I was good. But I mean, that's just kind of a silly little thing, but, you know, I felt like God provided for me because I really don't think I would have made it, although I didn't have any breakfast in my belly yet, but it was a struggle. And we all have these struggles, and some are worse than others, but, I mean, it's just something he provides. And when we feel like life is unfair, we have to be reminded that God is our provider and our needs are being met. We may not have everything we want. What? Did you write this? We have everything we need, but not what we want. And that's, I'm getting much better at getting there because, I don't need all the things I used to think I needed. I knew I wanted them, but most of the time I got them and they weren't used or they sat and then I'd sell them and then my daughter would say, why do you even buy things? Because you just sell them anyways. So I've come better without buying the things and I'm much more content with just having what we need. And it gets us through. And we trust God to provide our needs. It says here it develops a stronger dependence on God and a spiritual maturity. And so, obviously, through the years, I've definitely gained a spiritual maturity. God was there. He is faithful in providing to us. There's many ways he's faithful for us, to us. Sorry. And there's those days that we ask ourselves, how will we make it? How will we survive? How will we pay for stuff? And we feel stretched financially, emotionally, spiritually, but God does take care of us in the end. Sometimes it's not even that noticeable, but other times it's right in your face. But, you know, there might be something that you don't even realize. You know, you're having a bad day and you realize somebody just called you out of the blue that you hadn't heard from for a while, and it made your day better, and you go on about your day, and then a couple days later you're like, you know, why would they have even called me? But, you know, it's God taking care of you and being faithful to taking care of you. He's also faithful to uplift and encourage us. There's a lot of days when we feel like we're overwhelmed and we give up and we feel angry. At work, I run into it all the time. And the guy I work with gets frustrated at a job, and this is no pat on my back, but I feel like God keeps me calm, and I walk over and I'm like, well, you know, if I was you, I'd probably take out this bolt that you missed and it'll probably come apart. And I'll walk off and he'll grumble, and he doesn't understand. He's like, he says he doesn't believe in God, but he asks a lot of questions about it. But he doesn't understand how I see these things sometimes, and I just feel like it's because I'm calm and God's taking care of me. And I do get in sometimes with his negativity, and then the whole day goes right down the drain, because then neither one of us can get anything done because we're both complaining about how horrible the job it is and everything's miserable. But, you know, it's when I keep my positivity and keep my spirit uplifted, my day goes so much better. God is also faithful in comforting us, you know. He comforts us in loss. He comforts us in mourning. He comforts us in death. And there's many things that happen to us that we need comforting. And I think I'm going to let you share some of yours, because this is right where it falls in.
Yeah. So we signed up to preach this Sunday at the leadership meeting, and I'm going to put this down here, because we knew pastors were going to be away and whatever. And I actually felt like this was a Sunday we were supposed to take, but like all week long we're going, do you have anything? No. Do you have anything? No. And so we're like, what was it, Friday or Saturday? I think it was Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. I'm like, okay, well, this is what I think, because I feel like God keeps sending these nudges my way, and so this is where I think we're supposed to go, and about the faithfulness of God even in tragedy. And so a big part of it's going to have to do with my nephew Eric, which who passed away before he turned 7. And this is the first time that I've really actually gone more in depth about what happened and where I was and everything like that. And it's because of God's faithfulness. So Phyllis asked me a few weeks ago, we had donated my nephew's train table to the church a while ago for Children's Church, but it wasn't getting used, and that's fine. It's been here for years. And she said, you know, if you can find a place for it. So immediately, the train table at the first and second grade class where I work had busted. And so I said, hey, you know, I'm just offering, yep, let's take it. So we, you know, Gil and I finally got around to moving it last week, last Sunday actually. And I didn't really think about it till afterwards, but it was on my nephew Eric's 21st birthday that we moved that table. So I'm just sharing confirmations that God started to bring to me. And then the next day, Toby Mac's song pops up on the radio, 21 Years, which is about his son that died. I think there was a drug something. And I was like, well, that's weird, because Eric would have been 21 yesterday if he was still with us. And then I think it might have even been the next day, or maybe it was the end of the week. Mariah might know, but anyway. We're driving to work again, and Toby Mac's song, Faithfully, comes on, and it's all about God being faithful. This album that these two songs are on, it's called Life After Death, and it's an album that he wrote after his son passed away. And so I'm like, man, what is going on? There's more, okay? There's more confirmation. So then my nephew, Andrew, Eric's older brother, had gone down to Texas to the Jesus Gathering. It's a long story. Basically, people that we know that are there, he went and he's met with this guy, Matt Whalen, who used to be in youth group with my sister way back in the day. And he had gone down to Texas before, and this was the second time he flew down there. Andrew got baptized on Eric's birthday. And then Araya's got a project coming up. Like, God is faithful, right? I mean, listen to all these confirmations. God's like, this is the time, okay? Araya's doing this project on Vietnam for history night for UCA. And I'm like, oh, because my dad went back to Vietnam. He's a Vietnam veteran. He went back there for a healing and restoration kind of thing, meeting with former Viet Cong and reconciliation rally and all this stuff. It was amazing. And so I was like, oh, I have some stuff from Vietnam. It's, you know, I have it stored in the garage, sentimental stuff to keep, whatever. And I open the tote and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's like so much junk in here. But then right there, like near the top, I'm like, oh, what's this folder? And I open it up and it's stuff from my nephews, Eric and Andrew, from when they were little. And his picture is sitting right there on top with his family. And a journal of mine was in there, and it was part of it was during when Eric passed away. And then Jen, just to put it all on top of everything, she says, oh, you know, I came across Where I Belong, the last song that we sang. And she's like, what do you think? I'm like, oh, I'm open for anything. And then the Holy Spirit's like, that's the song you were singing when Eric was passing away. And I'm like, on second thought, yes, we are supposed to sing that song today. And so just a little background. Eric, he was born on February 4th, 2003, and he had a lot of medical challenges. He had to be intubated immediately right after he was born. His placenta came out in pieces. Like, it was bad. So he needed to be intubated to breathe. And he was hooked up to all kinds of things, you know, NG tube, which they put this tube up your nose and down into your stomach so that you can eat. He was up on all kinds of medications and stuff, you know, to keep him sedated when he was about a month and a half old, they sent him to Boston Children's because they wanted to it's called extubating, so to take out the tube to help him to breathe. And when they did that, he failed, his airway closed, and they had to do an emergency tracheotomy. And eventually he came back. So this was in Burlington. He was in the hospital for the first 4.5 months of his life before he finally came home. And when he came home, he still had the trach. All of his life after the tracheotomy, he had the trach. He still had the NG tube. You know, he had all kind. You know, they have the suction machine to make sure his airway stays clean and all these different things. You have to learn all these medical procedures so that he can even be at home. And so, like, going to the house, it was kind of like, you know, if you have a sniffle, stay out of the house because it would compromise him. And so all that to say, I mean, there was, over his lifetime, there was a lot of different traumas and stuff that happened. He coded on the floor where he stopped breathing. I think, you know, when he finally did go home, he was like, you know what, heaven's a lot better. See you later, you know? But there were a lot of miracles where Eric was concerned too. So they didn't even think he would survive the first 48 hours. So they're like, it's going to be touch and go, you know, but God kept him alive. He had club feet that disappeared. He had a valve in his heart that wouldn't shut, and it shut on its own. And there was all kinds of different things. Every time he had a sickness and ended up in the hospital, he would pull through and he would be back home. You know, he coded on the floor, the ambulance had to come, and he sat up like nothing happened, you know, after they revived him. And all these different things, you know? So I think that's part of where the struggle was when he finally did pass away, because God had done so many miracles for his life that it wound up being a struggle later on. So, but with all the medical issues that Eric lived with, he lived life to the fullest. That was just life, whatever. But he was a fiery redhead. He loved attention and loved to play with people. And he knew how to make his needs or wants known, even though he couldn't speak like us because he had the trach. So we taught him some sign language and whatever. He'd just, pull on your hand or whatever. One time he wanted attention for something. I think he probably just wanted somebody to play with him, even though he had his brother in the other room, whatever. And he was, and so we took him by the hand and brought him to the living room, like, go play. And he went up to the entrance to the bathroom door, and he went, because he hurt his hand because he had slapped the door frame because he was mad. I'm just sharing some funny things because, like, he was just quite a character. If you ignored him and didn't see him, he would make sure you knew he was there. One time we were at a restaurant, I think it was Applebee's in the Burlington Mall, and he kept waving to our waiter, and the waiter was busy and he didn't see him. So the next time the waiter went by, he slapped him on the rear end. And of course, we're trying not to, like, die with laughter, but it was very amusing. So this is the kind of kid he was, you know? He loved immensely, and he loved having his chubby cheeks kissed, and he was just full of life. So over the almost 7 years of his life, there were multiple times that, like I said, he would beat illness and he would return home. But there came the day when he gave way to eternal life and he didn't return home. And part of that was Gil and I had been taking care of the older brother, Andrew, and we had to drive him from our house to his house and not telling him what had happened, because we felt like his parents needed to be the one to be with him when that happened. And, I had a CD of my sister's that is like family songs, like songs that she had for the boys, like When You Say Nothing at All was Eric's song. And these songs were playing in the background while we're driving down the road, and I'm like losing it, you know. And it was the single most hardest thing I've ever dealt with in my life, was to lose my nephew. You know, when somebody is like 100 and they pass away, you're like, well, they lived a good full life, you know? Like, but when someone is 6 and not even 7 yet and they pass away, there's just something about it that really can be a knife to the heart. So in my journal, I wanted to share a journal entry that I did 6 days after he passed away, so that you guys can kind of get a picture of what it was like. And, you know, I'm sure that there's gonna be moments that you probably relate to. We've all suffered from loss. We've all suffered grief from, whether it's losing somebody or a friend or whatever. The reason I'm sharing this, though, is so that you guys can know God was there faithfully, even in the middle of it all, even though, like, at the moment, I might not have felt that way. It says, I pretty much feel like a part of my heart was taken away since my 6-year-old nephew Eric passed away on Wednesday, January 6, 2010. He fought hard, but he just couldn't lick this one. He got pneumonia, a blood infection, and possibly a staph infection, and ended up in the PICU for a bit over a week before he died. I'm having a hard time with understanding why all of this happened. There were probably hundreds praying for his healing, but he's still gone. I'm having a hard time with all of this, more than I thought I would. I feel like a hypocrite after all I said to my family about making sure they held on to God no matter what happened. I feel inadequate or less than, because there are people who go through many worse trials who still trust in the goodness of God. So what is wrong with me? We believed Derek would be healed here and that the testimony would come from that. I just don't get it. I feel like I can't believe in the promises God seemed to give when my world seems to be falling down around me. I'm hanging on. I'm having a hard time with the healing thing. Of course, we know the whole ultimate healing thing. I just don't get why he couldn't just heal him here. I need something to hold on to. If it feels like this with God, I can't imagine it without him. Psalm 61, verse 1b says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. My faith was shaken more than any other time in my life. And in the same year, Gil's mom also passed away unexpectedly. She had gone in for hernia surgery. And, she actually had said, I love you. See you later. Like she knew she was going to die. And we're like, you're going in for hernia surgery. You'll be fine. And there was a mishappening and she passed away. So this was all in the same year. And then, there were other things that happened in that year that were like you were just getting hit from every side. And there were points where my emotions started to feel dead. Like, it's like I couldn't feel anything, like try to worship and just felt hollow, my faith felt hollow. It seemed like I was hanging on by a thread. But I was just thinking about this the other day that Jesus is well acquainted with that grief and the intensity of feeling abandoned, because in those moments, it felt like God had left. Like, where did you go? Like, all the miracles that you did and he's gone, but in Matthew 27:46, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So, like, he knew the depths of what I was going through, the grief and he's very well aware of the griefs and the loss that we carry. And what kind of grief, loss of hope and dreams Mary, his mother, must have endured. She had the promise from God himself that the miracle son she bore would be the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who would reign over Israel. That was like specifically the words Gabriel said, was that he would reign over Israel. And that's Luke 1, verses 28 to 35. And she even had confirmations from Simeon and Anna that Jesus would be those things. So it wasn't like, well, maybe I just had a weird vision, there were people and things that he did that confirmed over and over again who he was. And that was Luke 2, 29 to 35 and verse 38 with Simeon and Anna, if anybody wants that reference. But then she finds herself 33 years later at the foot of a cross where her son and savior is crucified and dies. That's John 19, 25 to 27. So, part of that is just God knows the depths. He knew what it said. I think it says a sword will pierce your heart was the other part of that prophecy. And I'm sure she was probably like, what are you talking about? A sword will pierce my heart? But that's exactly what happened when she was at the foot of the cross, watching her son take his last breath. And my sister was there when my nephew died, watched him take his last breath, her ear to his chest, listening as his heart gave way. And that was the end, and just the deep sorrow that my sister felt, that Mary must have felt. And while this grief and loss that I'm talking about today has to do with someone dying that I love very much, there are many ways that we experience loss and with that grief. It could be a job. It could be your home. I know that Jen's house burned down. And if you want to share about that too, and how God brought you through that, then I'll leave that up to you. It could be a son or a daughter caught up in an addiction. It could be losing a friend, not necessarily to death, but just, Jesus had his disciples and they all ran out on him, And Judas outright betrayed him and sold him over to be murdered. And we have those kind of losses. Or maybe it's a dream to be or do something that never came to fruition. So I want to say, to you that God is the restorer of our hope. Even with loss, no matter how small or how big it is, it can be as big as the things that we went through together as a family. It could be something small, but God is a restorer of our hope. In our life here on earth, we experience loss, grief, and suffering, but it was not what God originally intended for us or designed for us. And that's what makes it so hard for us to bear. When we have these sufferings, it's like, this isn't right. This isn't good, you know? And you're right. It isn't good. It's not fun to go through, but it's not what God intended for us. And that's why it's so hard for us to bear. He created us for eternity and for life, but sin took that away, and we live in a broken world. And I know, like, we've heard that over and over again, and it doesn't make those situations any easier. Jesus is the only one that gets us through it. And he's the only one that can take something that horrible and somehow strengthen your foundation. Like, that's the goodness of God. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but God came to give us life to the full, abundance in him. We can have that abundance. We don't have to stay in those places of deep grief for the rest of our lives because we have that hope in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that you're not going to cry. It doesn't mean you're not going to miss friendships or people that have gone before. You know, Jesus knows grief. He understands it. It's okay. But it's taking that grief to the presence of God instead of staying in a place where the enemy likes to twist it and keep you in a darkness. And God doesn't want that. He's like, you know, just like the song, I finally found where I belong in your presence. And as I was singing that song, knowing that Eric was not doing well at all, you know, at first I thought it was for me, but I think it was really Eric's song. I finally found where I belong in your presence. It's to be with you. You know, I am my beloved's and he is mine. So come into his garden. Take delight in me. You know, he found that as soon as he breathed his last, he was like, this is exactly where I belong, in the loving presence of God. And then I wanted to share another journal entry from, it was actually a day before he would have turned 7, so it was a little less than a month since he had passed away. God had me in James chapter 1, verses 2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I said, God has been taking me on a journey of learning to trust in him in an even deeper way than I've ever known before. I'm still learning, still taking one step at a time, knowing that one day I'll look back and see how God worked in my life and in the lives of others during this period of struggle. What is next? I do not know, but what I am sure of is that God will bring me through the other side of all of this. Perhaps in my state of feeling the weakest, he is actually strengthening me so that I will come out stronger than I ever was before, that in my weakness, he would prove himself strong. And, you know, it's been over 14 years since he passed away, and it has been a journey. It wasn't like after I got that revelation a little less than a month after he died that I was all cured and all better. Like, it's been years and years of God, you know, meeting me in different places as, you know, maybe a memory would come up or something would trigger something from, you know, what we lived with. I mean, really, honestly, we lived on the edge all the time because of his health conditions. You just had to be so careful. And at the same time, he loved life. So it was like, you know, Gil fell right into hanging out with Eric and loved him from the beginning and was a part of the family as soon as he met him. And I want to tell you something, though. Through the most intense trial of my faith, I have found that God is faithful always. This is the where God has stripped away the junk from and the, you know, the trauma. God is always faithful. He is a God of comfort. In the middle of our darkest moments, he is there, whether we feel like it or not. He doesn't leave. He doesn't forsake us. In our brokenness and emptiness, In our loneliness and deepest pain, he never lets go. In our loss and grief and our desire to understand why, he is still good. He will rebuild the ruins around us and strengthen our foundation once again. And I just want to read a couple of passages of scripture. Isaiah 54. Verse 10 to 13. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. O storm-battered city, troubled and desolate, I will rebuild you with precious jewels and make your foundations from lapis lazuli. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. I will make your towers of sparkling rubies, your gates of shining gems, and your walls of precious stones. I will teach all your children, and they will enjoy great peace. And the thing that stuck out to me about that is God's faithful love remains. And then Isaiah 61, verses 3 to 11. Says, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. And I wanted to say that part of the biggest struggle that I had was that I had failed somehow, that I hadn't prayed the right prayer, that I hadn't prayed long enough, that, you know, when I was trying to pray through the night that I fell asleep. You know, the enemy really loves to attack our minds and say, well, you're the one that failed and that's why God didn't come through. And it's an absolute lie, absolutely, yeah. So instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit or a bride with her jewels. The sovereign Lord will show his justice to the nations of the world. Everyone will praise him. His righteousness will be like a garden in early spring with plants springing up everywhere. And in that, just a overall piece, I just felt like God said, give him your ashes and let him give you beauty for those broken places of your life. Let him revive and restore you. And just wanted to share a couple of parts from Toby Mack's song, Faithfully. It says, but when my world broke into pieces, you were there faithfully. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you made a way for me. I may never be the same man, but I'm a man who still believes. When I cried out to you, Jesus, you were there faithfully. In my darkest hour, you met me, so quietly, so gently. You said you'd never leave, and you stood by your word. So quietly, so gently, in all my pain, you met me. You said you'll never leave, and you stood by your word. So when it seems like God is the furthest away from you, that is actually when he is the closest to you.
So, yeah. I have a blessing and a curse with my memory, because I remember little details quite clearly. You know, I remember what Aaron was wearing the first time I saw her. I remember lots of things, but, and those times are good, but then with stuff like that, it's I still have a hard time talking about it. But obviously, I'm not quite healed from it. And Nancy and Ryan, we talked the other day about healing. And does your amount of faith equal God's faithfulness? You know, if you want to get healed and you don't believe, does that necessarily mean that He's not going to heal you? And I don't know about that. And I don't know if anybody has any insight on that, but, you know, when I first started going to youth group, they had the kids perform healing on people, and I had something up with my elbow, or it got drained out or something, but it was really painful. And I can't say as I was all that confident that any of it was going to work. But Trevor Dumas
prayed for it.
Gone, never to return. And so, you know, how are you not supposed to question that, you know? And that was me not having a lot of faith, but then other times you do have a lot of faith and you pray for it and it doesn't happen. So, yeah, I mean, God is faithful in comforting you. And it takes some. It takes some time. But like Aaron said, you know, if it's that difficult with God, how do people even get through without God? And I mean, obviously, we see things that happen out in the world, how people deal with loss and grief, and it's not always a good road to go down. But God is also faithful in strengthening you. And He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about all my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." That's 2 Corinthians 12:9. So, you know, as we said, life has a way of weighing you down and knocking the wind out of your sails. And we've all experienced it. We've experienced seasons of loss. We've experienced seasons of grief. We've experienced seasons of just blah, you know. And it's, yeah. You know, we break our ankle because we do something silly, you know. Unless your dog went outside to pee. Maybe we should go back to talking about poop. I didn't cry then. But yeah, I mean, but we all need each other as a family, and we need God, and we need God's faithfulness to get us through. And that's why we're all here, to support each other too. To when you do start questioning it, you have somebody to talk to. We have people to back us up. We have the Bible to back us up. We have the Word that is there, and you know, it can get us through if we let it. Mm-hmm. And I guess my next one said, God is faithful in sending a community of support. And I jumped right to that one just by, but yeah, there are things that I can tell my friends, close friends sometimes, that I don't necessarily know how to talk to my wife about, or, you know, whether it be a guy thing, or, you know, sometimes it's her father, sometimes it's James or somebody that I can relate to. It's just, I don't necessarily know if I can share it with my wife. But after I've talked to them, then they give me a different outlook where I might be able to share it with my wife. And it's always good to have her involved. No, all the time.
I don't
want to
know.
Well, That's usually when I pull in with something new. But yeah, I don't know.
Can I say something?
Yes.
You absolutely can.
When I was in Germany, one of my coworkers was diagnosed with a horrible cancer, and she had little ones, like 4 and under. And people would send cards and say, "We're praying for you." And she said that meant the world because she couldn't pray. They prayed in her place.
Well, and the other piece too, for those of you that don't really know my mom and her story, when I was 2 years old, she was diagnosed with 4-stage Hodgkin's disease cancer. And the doctors told my dad to make funeral arrangements. By the way, 4th is the last stage. So, because, you know, they're first like, oh, 4th, that's probably not too bad. That's like out of 10 or something. And no, it was the last stage. The tumor was big enough that it partially collapsed her lung. But God healed her. And so that was another piece, too, that I was like, well, God healed my mom. You know, I've laid, my mom had a growth coming back on her shoulder. She had one of those cysts. And I laid my hands on her and it went away, you know, like, so God is faithful even when there is healing, when there's not healing. He's still good even when there is healing, when there's not healing. You know, his goodness was he died on the cross for us, you know, to take away all those things. And whether he heals or not, he's still good. He's still good. And that was the thing that I had to come to that place, though, because, like I said, the enemy, he likes to take those kind, which are awful things that, like I said, God did not intend for the disease. He did not intend for all of these things. And so, but he can take those foundations that have been shaken. He can rebuild them and make something beautiful and set your feet back on the rock to stay. So when the storms come, find yourself on the rock. And the other thing that I wanted to say too is, you know, we had so much support from our church family through that. I'm pretty sure we probably came to church the next day, or not the next day, but the next Sunday, and people were there. And you know, what made ministered probably more to me was people just being there to love me and just being there. It wasn't about words or trying to fix the problem. When you try to fix the problem, sometimes we make it worse. I've been there, done that. When we try to just say, well, the Bible says, or the Bible says, or the Bible says, sometimes people just need you to just be there for them and just listen. And maybe they have nothing to say, just being there with them in their moment of loss, in their moment of grief. And like, whether that is a person dying, like I said, or some other type of struggle that you're going through. So I just want to, Lori, could you find Where I Belong? It's Matt Gilman and Corey Asbury. I'd love to play that again. Just remembering that the presence of God is where it's at. Yeah. So we're just going to open up this area up here. Lisa and Joe, would you mind praying today? And any other volunteers? Sue and Perry, would you be willing to pray? And I want to open it up for anybody that wants prayer with Jen, if you want to pray. You're making me lose my train of thought. Let's just pray. And if you have a need, if this message spoke to something in your life, whether it's a loss of a dream or a hope, or you know, it can be anything that God has spoken today, please feel free to come up and pray, or you can just be you and God too. That's okay. So Heavenly Father, we just first of all, God, I thank you for the many confirmations that you brought and the turnaround that you brought 14 years later, that it's like, okay, now's the time. I'm just so blessed, God, that you're faithful. You're faithful to speak to us. You're faithful to love us and to encourage us and to get our feet back up on the rock when we've been stuck in that miry clay. The enemy likes to keep us there. But God, I just pray that we would come to a place now where we crawl up into your lap and that we would just receive the love of Abba Father and your comfort and your joy and your peace. And pray, Father, that you silence the voice of the enemy so that we can hear with our spirits your spirit clearly. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. And feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others. Thank you.